Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes. Oh my gosh. Voice is going out on me there. Yes, it is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Wembley Tuesday. Always with you for the full four. Asking you to download your radio.com app. That, of course, is the way you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle, when you know you're not spending as much time there. So the best way to listen to us, do it through the app. Put that on your device. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your boombox, your laser disc player, your Walkman, your 8-track, your Texas Instruments calculator. Just download it onto some device. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you. As always, the best way to follow this particular show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. As always, Jarvis is in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you here, you know, the night after we see Mike Soroka go down. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But coming up on the show tonight, Bill Bender will be joining us, National College Football writer for Sporting News, as, you know, we're getting closer and closer. I mean, schedules are kind of in place, and we'll figure out what kind of season that we have. So we'll talk to our friend of the show, Bill Bender, coming up here a little bit later this hour. A couple things to get started with here. You know, obviously it was such a shame last night. We were on air as Mike Soroka goes down with the torn Achilles. We knew after the game, and it was late. You know, that game took such a long time to finish up last night. But, you know, unfortunately Soroka goes down, and you know, now the Braves ace, you know, is out, and it's incumbent upon Max Fried and some others to help pick up the slack and figure some things out. By the way, too, I thought this was a fascinating stat about Jacob deGrom, and you want to talk about, like, not being able to figure, you know, a way to get a win. Jake deGrom got the win last night, okay? Since 2018, since the very start of 2018, he's made 67 starts. He has a 2.05 ERA, and he's won 22 games. Think about that. For the 18, 19, and three starts into the 2020 season, he's won 22 games, is it, in 67 starts and a 2.05 ERA. It's amazing. Now, before we get into more Braves, we asked you last night, FS1 has got SummerSlam 92. And in between flipping with the Braves game and listening to us, you got to watch this show. You got to be able to watch some of this on FS1. Opening match, Jimmy Hart is leading IRS out. You got the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, and IRS Mike Rotunda. Irwin R. Scheister, as he was known. How great are those two guys? With Jimmy Hart, by the way. With 80,000 people in the stands. This is unbelievable. This event is magnificent. The look and the feel, and I'm telling you, the main event with Davey Boy Smith and Bret Hart might be the best SummerSlam match of all time. It's certainly in the top three or four. Hell, his match the year before with Curt Hennig, I said 91, that's tremendous. He had another great SummerSlam match at 97 as well. That was a great match in 97 with him and The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, the special referee in that one. But this is a real spectacle at Wembley Stadium as the Legion of Doom, yes, the Road Warriors, are coming in on the motorcycles. Now, I'm not as big a fan of this version of the Legion of Doom and all that. You know, give me the original Road Warriors from the NWA and all that, or, you know, give me the Road Warriors of, you know, about 85, 86, somewhere around in there, coming out to Iron Man. So you're going to get Road Warriors, Legion of Doom, Road Warriors versus Ted DiBiase and Mike Rotunda. There aren't two better tag teams today that can compete with those guys. But anyway, this is quite the spectacle. It's been a long time since I've seen this show. It's fascinating to watch. So we'll be flipping back and forth between the Braves and Blue Jays. So Mike Soroka, such a shame last night to go down for a guy who's really starting to figure things out and a guy who really, you know, had become that ace of the Braves staff. And we'll talk about where to go next with all this and maybe what the Braves need to do. But it really does feel like a gut punch because this obviously is a team that a lot of expectations, certainly one of the better teams in the National League. I think they're the second best team in the National League, and certainly can compete to play for a World Series. And for a team that was already, you know, hurting in the starting pitching department, not only to lose a guy, but to lose your ace of your staff. And he was the ace of the staff. And look, Max Fried is terrific. We'll see him tonight against the Blue Jays. Got to figure out a way to get these wins at home, protect home field advantage. And you got to win games. You know, we said you got to win when Soroka and Fried are on the mound. You got to win these games. You know, these are the games that you have to lock yourself in and figure out how to win. By the way, Road Warrior Animal, you know, is his last name is Laurinaitis, and Randy played with his son. Randy played with his son in St. Louis. So a little bit of trivia there as we're watching the Road Warriors waiting for the Braves to get started here. But, look, you know, this is where we'll find out. This is where, to me, we'll find out a lot about Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snicker. We'll find out a lot about these two guys, about what they can do to navigate through this. Because I did see, you know, people on Twitter, and I saw people like Mike Conley talking about the people that were saying that the season's over and this, that, and the other. The season's not over. There's still a tremendous amount of talent. Yeah, it really sucks the way Soroka goes down and won't be around. Yeah, it really sucks the way the pitching staff is rounding out right now. But season's not over. This is definitely not, okay, it's time to throw in the towel and be done with everything. That's not what this is about. This is you got to rally the troops and figure things out. You have to figure out how you're going to get through all this and navigate your way through it. So, you know, I'm not buying into the season is over narrative that some people might. Yeah, this is going to be a challenge, no doubt about it. Hell, I don't know. I mean, if we want to nitpick, if Soroka was terrific, would Brian Snicker have started him in game one anyway? I mean, this should be the year, right? But anyway, you know, I kind of half kid on all of that. But at the same time, look, this is where Snitker's got to figure some things out with what he's got. And while he's got an expanded rotation, while for right now they have an expanded – boy, Mike Rotunda is such a great worker, by the way, in the ring. Let me tell you, he's a tactician, man. That's still one of my five favorite tag teams of all time, the U.S. Express. Him and Barry Windham, man. I was always rooting for those guys with Captain Lou Albano and beat those dastardly, you know, foreigners. the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov with classy Freddie Blassie, you pencil neck geek, out of all of it. But anyway, this is where we'll find out about, you know, this is where Snitker's got to be good about managing the bullpen. Because you're going to have young guys for now, and if and when they do make a trade and bring somebody in, but you're going to have young guys that are going to take up the bulk of your starts, and you're going to have to navigate your way through. Some nights it'll be good, some nights it won't be so good. In me, I will tell you one of the things is, if I've got one of my young guys rolling right along, I'm gonna keep with that guy until it drops, because without completely burning out my bullpen, because you got 20 games in a row to start the season. Of course, we're, 11 games in now. 20 games to start the season. You know, it could be very easy with guys that are not pitching a whole lot, 3 and 4 innings. And you saw some of that over the weekend with Touki Toussaint and Kyle Wright and stuff like that. You know, guys only getting 3-4 innings. You'll tax out your bullpen pretty quickly if you got to pitch guys every day. And some of those guys don't need to be pitching regularly. You saw Chassin and some guys like that. You start eating up a lot of innings and appearances for those guys, you're going to be in trouble. So you got to navigate your way through it, but that's where you got Snicker. That's where you got Double A, I should say. You know, those guys have to lead now, and they have to figure out this roster, because it's too talented of a roster to still just say, well, you know, that's it. We can't do anything. Well, you know, we're giving up for the season. I mean, they're obviously not thinking that, you know, and obviously that's not what their mindset is, you know. But I'm just saying, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to get this roster back on track. And we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment about what direction to go with all of it. But Blue Jays, Braves tonight, they start a 3-game set before the Phillies come in, as the Braves continue this 9-game homestand that they're on. And the first, you know, coming through this 20-game stretch that they have to start off the season. And, you know, it's going to be a big key. When this starts, when Max Fried is. Max Fried has shown that, you know, he's stepping his game up, and he was kind of the talk of the Braves in the off season about, okay, you know, can he be a guy that takes that next step up? I thought if he could put a few less base runners on, bring that ERA down, which is a little bit high last year. He's certainly got the stuff and the makeup, and he's a guy that definitely can get, you know, outs without contact. He's definitely a swing and miss kind of pitcher that's out there. So you got to win the starts when he's on the mound. You have to find a way to win the starts, because if you can't win when he's on the mound, then how are you trying to find ways to win when it's every Joe bag of donuts that you trot out there? You know, when it's Sean Newcomb, you don't know what kind of stuff he's got. It's Touki Toussaint. Does he pitch great? Does he get whacked around? Kyle Wright, is he good for a couple of innings and he gets whacked around? I mean, when you have so much unknown with those other guys, when you have your known commodity on the mound, find a way to get the runs, get them early, get them comfortable, get a lead, and go win that game. At least win the games when your ace, you know, or your top guy is on the mound. And home field advantage, you know, as well. Yeah, you know, when you get this many games in a row at home, you got to find a way to be able to protect home field, and you got to find a way to be able to, you know, pick up some wins, you know, here. And especially against your division. I mean, that's another thing, you know, when Philly comes in. They've done a great job against the Mets thus far. You know, that is a big key is, look, take care of your division. You got most all of your games are going to be against your division, so you got to figure out a way to make sure you win the bulk of those games. So far, so good against the Mets. You know, now Philadelphia is going to come in. You know, so we'll see what they look like. By the way, how many former big leaguers are on the big leaguer kids are on the Blue Jays, by the way? Right? Isn't Bo Bichette, isn't he related? Isn't he Dante Bichette's kid? And Biggio is Craig Biggio's kid. And Vlad Jr. plays on the Blue Jays, right? Aren't they, like, loaded with all the former major leaguer kids that are on their roster and stuff like that? So anyway, we'll see what Max Fried has got tonight, you know, after the devastating news about Mike Soroka and missing the season. And we'll hear from Will Carroll. He joined the morning show, injury expert, because I thought there was a couple things that I was reading and hearing from him that were interesting about how quickly some of these guys come back now that, you know, maybe Soroka will be ready for training camp when it opens up next year. That just seems like, boy, you know, that just seems like for a guy who's got to be able to plant, you know, on that foot and have the confidence, you know, not just the physical aspect of it, but the confidence. You know, we talked about that even with Freddie Freeman initially, is that, you know, when you get hit on your lead wrist like that, it's not just your physical attribute, it's the it's the mental side of it. It's the mental side of, are you ready to come back in? Is he ready to, you know, mentally plant back on that foot? Because it was just such a freak thing, the way he just, he hit the mound and it just looked like that thing popped. And you just saw him go down like a gunshot. So we'll keep you up to date all night, as we always do, with the Braves and Blue Jays. But when we come back, speaking of the Atlanta Braves, if the Braves are going to make a trade, does it need to be for a one or two starter? I'll explain next and maybe throw out a few names. It is the John Chukwu Show, hanging out with you here on this Wembley Tuesday. As we're watching some Braves and some SummerSlam 92, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, back with you on the John Chukwu Show, hanging out on this Tuesday evening. 404-741-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Encourage you to leave a comment there. As we're watching Braves baseball, Ronald Acuna Jr. with a walk, and look at that, steals a base and down to second. And now you have a man on second and nobody out. Gosh, I wish there was a host on radio that would talk about this and kind of, you know, push this. And Dansby hitting too. That's another thing too that I'm enjoying. So this is the blueprint. This is the blueprint for what you need. So watching Braves baseball, watching SummerSlam 92, 80,000 people in Wembley Stadium, quite the spectacle that it is. One thing I'll say very quickly about that, I guess they were called, what were they called? Money Inc. was the tag team. Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and IRS, Iron R. Scheister, Mike Rotunda, and they're taking on the Road Warriors. They called them the Legion of Doom when they got to the WWF. But one thing is for sure. I mean, let's not get it twisted. This is 1992. You can see Ted DiBiase and Mike Rotunda. They're still great performers, but they're not nearly physically what they once were. And even the Road Warriors don't look like the Road Warriors, as they're about to give Ted DiBiase the doomsday device, but Mike Rotunda makes the save on all of that. So you can definitely tell all four of those guys probably a little bit past their prime. One guy not past his prime is Freddie Freeman, who is up now, trying to do some damage early on. With the loss of Mike Soroka, of course, you know, we talked actually about this last week before Mike Soroka went down, and this was after Mike Fultonevich had been optioned, that they needed some starting pitching help. And I brought up the idea of going after a guy like Mike Minor, bring him back home, final year of a contract, you know, pitching for the Texas Rangers. But here's one of the things that I think you have to think about is when we look at the next move to make. It's not about just making a move for the sake of making a move. And to be honest with you, it's not about just bringing in a starting pitcher for the sake of bringing in a starting pitcher. It's about, you got to find a guy, in my mind, that could be a number one or number two type starter. Now, are there many of those guys out there that are available? No. I get that. But, and people say, what are some of the names? I don't know. You know, Mike Minor, Lance Lynn. Could you pry a guy like Marco Gonzalez away from the Mariners? What about Trevor Bauer? Is he available? My point is, you know, you signed Cole Hamels to an $18 million deal. That, with all due respect, he was never going to be, if you were lucky, he might be your number three starter, but most likely was going to be probably like a fourth starter, okay? When Dallas Keuchel was signed last year, people acted like that they had their ace. Oh, yeah, he's a bulldog, you know. He's got that bulldog in him, and he's won, you know, in the World Series and stuff like that. Yeah, that's eons ago. Go look at what he'd done the last couple of years. I mean, I wasn't sold on Dallas Keuchel, certainly the way that this franchise acted like it was. Certainly, they were sold on him enough to start him game one of a playoff series. But this can't be about just making a move for the sake of making a move. They have to go find a guy who's a legitimate top of the rotation starter. Now, yeah, how many of those guys are there? Well, I don't know. The Astros, you know, have a guy. The Red Sox had a guy until they got hurt. The Yankees certainly have one or two guys. The Nationals certainly have a guy. The Dodgers have a guy. The Cubs have at least one guy. You know, I think Aaron Nola has the stuff to be a top of the rotation guy, but he's got to put it all together. So there are guys around, you know, the league. I mean, there are, you know, obviously the Mets have a guy. So there are pitchers out there, but I, you know, those guys are not available. You know, Zach Greinke and some of those guys, they're not available. I don't think that they are. You know, if you talked about Mike Fiers, that maybe that's another guy that if Oakland's not in it, they would be willing to make a trade. But my thing to this would be kind of two-pronged. One is I don't want a starter for the sake of having to go out and get a starter. Don't give me some third, fourth starter, middle-tier guy. He's a veteran. You know, sort of like, who was the guy that they brought over a couple of years ago that ended up having a pretty good year in signing with the Twins? Man, my mind's going blank now of who it is. But a guy you kind of bring in just as a veteran, you know, and he's all right, but he's nothing special. You know, you need something special. The reality is that you got to find a guy who does have a little bit of something special in him. Can you bring in a guy who could be a legitimate number one or two? Can you bring in a guy who can get outs without contact? You know, somebody more than just, you know, some guy to help, you know. Well, he's made a few starts here. You know, I don't need a guy like an Esteban Loaiza, right? I need a guy who can be a legitimate one or two starter. That's one thing. The second part is you don't have time to wait around. You don't have time to wait around. And this is supposed to be where all of the scouting and everything to have the deepest farm system and a top tier farm system and all this, that, and the other. This is where it's supposed to all pay off. That now you have to try to take something and turn it into a legitimate asset. Because the Braves to me can still be. The Braves can still be in this thing. They, you know, I don't like the idea of saying that the Braves are out of it. They still have too much talent. You know, they still have Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman and Ozzie Albies. They still have all their offensive pieces. And they still have Max Fried, and they still have a lot of money to invest in their bullpen. You know, Will Smith hasn't even come back yet. You know, Will Smith is starting to throw, and, you know, he may be back on the fast track. So, you know, there's still that bullpen that they have that they've invested a lot of money in. But they got to have a guy that can help you at the top of the rotation. And they have to find that guy now. They can't wait around to see how the tea leaves shake out. Let's wait till the trade deadline. Let's not give up too many assets and things like that. I mean, with all due respect, with the way that the Braves have developed some of these pitchers, which is to say that they haven't developed some of these pitchers, then holding on to your assets doesn't mean a whole lot if those assets really haven't panned out for you. You know, Soroka and Fried are the exception to what the Braves have done with all these quote-unquote, you know, high-leverage minor league talent players and stuff like that. They've been the exception, not the rule. So I don't know. I don't know that there's an easy fix to it, but it's got to be more than just a guy to come in here, you know. And I don't know how many of those guys are available, but maybe you have to make an offer that makes them available. And I'm not saying you give away the farm. I'm not saying you give away Waters and Pache and everybody. I mean, you don't have to do that. But you are going to have to give up something if you want something of some quality. And with all due respect, the Braves need to go out and find something of quality. I don't want to hear about they picked up some mid-tier guy for some A-level prospect, and this guy, you know, won 8 games 2 years ago, and, you know, he's just a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. That doesn't solve anything for the Braves. I don't need a guy that can just eat innings. You lost your best pitcher, okay? And with all due respect, he is your best pitcher. He is your best starting pitcher that you have, and you don't have that guy. And to win in baseball, and when you get into October, it's proven time and time and time and time again. You got to have a guy that you can hitch your wagon to. You got to have a Verlander or a Scherzer or a Kershaw or a Chris Sale, you know, or a Corey Kluber. You got to have one of those kinds of guys to be able to hitch your wagon to and to be able to go out and feel like every fifth day we can win this game. And that's why I say when if you've got an ace on your staff, you know, you have to feel like you have to win every one of those games, that you can't give those games up. Because it's such a, for, especially for the Braves, you know, when Max Fried or Mike Soroka aren't pitching, you don't know what you're going to get. We talked about before the start of the game last night. Those two guys combined had only given up five earned runs. Combined had only given up five earned runs. That's less than what Sean Newcomb by himself had given up, what Kyle Wright by himself had given up, what Tuki Toussaint by himself had given up. Those two guys combined weren't giving up anything. So you have to find a guy who's not just an innings eater, not just a bulldog, not just a guy who can fit in nicely with the rotation. You got to have a guy that's a difference maker. And this is where Alex Anthopoulos maybe has to make some offers to some guys that maybe weren't thought of being moved. You know, maybe you have to make a move for, maybe you have to make an offer to a guy, you know, to a pitcher, to a team that wasn't necessarily on somebody's radar of saying, this guy's available and ready to move. Because there's, you know, there is some of those guys. You know, there are some of those guys, you know, maybe it is Mike Minor because of the contract situation. Maybe it is Trevor Bauer. You know, maybe it is Mike Fiers. You know, maybe it is one of those guys. And those at least would be some answers. You can at least feel like Trevor Bauer has the ability to be a number two type of guy. I don't know if he's a number one kind of guy, but it could be at least a number two kind of guy. How about this? Nails. Remember him? Anybody remember Nails? That was supposed to be the guy that when Big Boss Man turned face was brought in, that he was in Cobb County Jail and Big Boss Man put him in there and all that. The rumor and innuendo, if you believe it, the rumor and innuendo is that Nails actually shoved Vince McMahon down to the ground and got fired right after that for it. That's the rumor and innuendo. Depends on who you want to believe in all of that that situation. But that is the rumor and innuendo for it. And he's going to wrestle Virgil, for God's sakes, who was no longer with the Million Dollar Man at this point. He was trying to break off on his own. The great Mike Jones. Who would be Vincent in WCW. Crazy stuff watching here, man. Fascinating stuff to watch Max Fried pitch and then watch Nails and Virgil go at it. All right, coming up next, Bill Bender will join us, friend of the show, college football writer for the Sporting News. Get his thoughts as we're getting more and more scheduling, you know, finalities from all the different conferences. We'll talk some college football with Bill next. This is John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. Well, we're getting more and more clarity, at least on the scheduling aspect of college football, and a lot of other storylines to get into as well, especially from some things that went on over the weekend. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Our friend of the show joins us, Bill Bender, national college football writer for SportingNews.com. Follow Bill on Twitter, as always, at BillBender92. Bill, how we doing, my friend? Appreciate you coming on for a few minutes with us again tonight.
Hey, how are you?
I'm much better now, much better. So, you know, Bill, I think when I look at the situation, you know, with the Pac-12, and my take was, look, they're not going to get the demands that they want, but you have to put that kind of stuff, you know, out there. But in hindsight's always 20/20. You know, how much of this is the NCAA not really embracing name, image, and likeness, trying to get the U.S. Congress to try to step in and stop the states? And, you know, they've had multiple occasions where conferences have proposed the one-time free transfer that they shot down. How much is their short-sightedness on expanding the rights of college football players, especially, but college athletes in general, to blame for what is going on with these players in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's all been amplified by the pandemic itself. You know, I mean, you've seen players' voices get heard louder than ever. And I think part of it is they're risking their, it's not ridiculous to say they're risking their lives by going out there. I don't think it is, because all it takes is one athlete on a ventilator and this thing gets shut down. And I think they want their voices to be heard. And if you're going to go out and take those risks and risk your future, and you're 18 to 22 years old, and you're not getting paid to do it, that's all the reason to capitalize and have your voice heard. Now, the one part of it that's kind of a hang-up is they're not going to be getting 50% of the revenue anytime soon. You know, a lot of that revenue is used to so everybody else can play sports in college.
Yeah, and listen, you know, my take on all that, Bill, is you have to put that kind of stuff out there. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to talk about a negotiation and what we want and try to bring some things to light, you almost have to throw out, you know, look, we want free chocolate cake on every Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, you have to throw out things that you know are not realistic goals. But if you don't put it out there, then I don't know that you kind of get the, what do I want to say, that you kind of get the buzz around it that you would, you know, by saying, hey, we want half the revenue. We want coaches and commissioners to take pay cuts. You know, you're not going to get the same buzz without some of those demands being put in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like that episode of King of the Hill where Hank buys the truck for sticker price, right? You don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I still watch that show. I'm sorry. But, it definitely, it's about more than likeness and money, and it's about more than COVID, and it's a lot about social injustice that a lot of these African American players are feeling. And it's not just African Americans, but it's a sport where, let's be honest, there's predominantly African American players out there that want their voices heard on all of these issues. And I think it all rolls into one thing, and it's pretty combustible because we're dealing with the uncertainty of, you know, between all five power conferences, five different ways of doing it, five different schedules, five different start dates. We don't know the playing. I feel like I've done this interview a few times with you where you and I just kind of go back and forth, and we're like, we don't know, but we know that we want college football, but we don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill Bender joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline, national college football writer for SportingNews.com. I wonder, you think the playoff committee would be open to a one-year maybe expansion just from the standpoint of you have the Power Five that's going to play different types of schedules with different amounts of out of conference, and I don't know how you kind of gauge things, you know, because they love to talk about out of conference, and it's why everybody's beefed up everything. I wonder, I guess two parts to this question. One, how open do you think the committee would be to expanding for a one-year playoff? And number two is, what do you think their timeline is to trying to figure out how to have a postseason this year in college football?
Well, to answer that, the first question, I don't think they'll expand. I think we'll have the same judgment call we always do, and they'll eyeball teams, and that's the unfortunate part of having a four-team playoff and five power conferences. I think we'll still just have four teams, and the likelihood of two teams from the same conference getting in to me is pretty slim just on the numbers alone. So I think that's that part. And then the second part would be, I think depends on the turnaround, right? It depends on if they do these conference championship games on December 19th, it's not the worst idea to turn around and play in 2 weeks. I know that's tough, but, you know, I think they're going to try to get the games in as best they can, and you just never know with the uncertainty of having them shut that down. So I've seen both schools of thoughts, John, where I've seen some people say, well, don't start so soon. Let's wait and see until late September. I tend to be on that side of this debate. And then there are others that's like, let's play them in August and get them in before they shut things down. And I see both sides of that, but I still favor that. Let's start the season in late September and see if we can get it in from there.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I've always thought that it would land, is that closer to October is where we would get the season started. My other thing too, Bill, and I know that this won't be an easy thing, but, you know, if ESPN obviously is going to want the programming of bowl games at the end of the season, and when you're talking about playing conference championship games into, you know, a week before Christmas, you're already in bowl season at that point. And my thing was, if you're going to realistically have the bowl games and you're going to ask kids to travel, and they want the programming, why not logistically eliminate the conference tie-ins and things and try to do it more regional. I mean, you know, Georgia State went to Arizona last year. Why? Because that's the conference tie-in. It would make no sense this year for Georgia State to qualify, let's say, for a bowl game in Arizona and have to travel out there because ESPN wants programming.
I agree. And I think, you know, you've already seen that with the Redbox Bowl being canceled. I think if you can regionalize the bowl games and do what you can, maybe if that means sacrificing some conference tie-ins, that's fine too. You know, because I don't know how many – here's the great irony of all this, in my opinion, is for all of those people that complain about bowl games, I think you'd take 43 bowl games this year. I think you'd take 143 bowl games if you could. And go from there. But I totally agree with the travel aspect of it. If you can regionalize the bowl games, play some of those, and keep everybody in as close to their part of the country as possible, that would make a lot of sense.
Do you think, Bill, that fair or unfair, and the saying is always perception has the same effect as truth, do you think that when it comes to the judgment, especially this year, that past performance, it will be given the most consideration of future behavior, I guess. And what I mean by that is, take like the SEC, that a conference like that has shown that, you know, it's been the best football conference and this, that, and the other, just from the perception aspect of it, is going to get much more of the benefit of the doubt, especially this year, versus maybe other conferences and what actually happens on the field.
Yes, absolutely. The SEC will get the benefit of the doubt, especially if they play 10, you know, with 10 conference games, which I think will be riveting in a lot of ways. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, though, it's going to get a little interesting if LSU, Alabama, and Auburn all go 9-1, and their only losses are a round robin to each other. That's where it's going to get dicey, with tiebreakers and those kind of things, because you don't have a non-conference tiebreaker. Are we going to have a three-way coin flip with Gus and Ed and Nick, like they did in Friday Night Lights? That'd be something else. But I think all of those things are, to your point, yes, the SEC will be given the benefit of the doubt, I think, because of the strength of the conference. I think the Pac-12 will have the onus of trying to have Oregon go 9-1 or 10-0. And, you know, that's been the rule in the playoff, is there hasn't been a two-loss team yet. It'd be pretty wild if a two-loss team got to the playoff in a 10-game season.
Yeah, by the way, that's assuming that there's enough Pac-12 teams that have kids that play. What do you think about the idea as we swing back around to that? You know, I don't know if you saw the comments from Washington State's head coach. We're going to talk a little bit about this later on in my dedicated college football segment. But it was interesting, you know, his kind of point was, it's one thing to opt out because of COVID-19 concerns. It's another because of the, you know, United We Stand type of movement. And I wonder if I threw the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around more of these coaches, if there isn't more of that sentiment about the idea of, and I hate to say it this way, you know, we may punish kids if that's, you know, COVID-19 being one thing, but the whole United We Stand thing, I don't know. I'm not sure how much support behind the scenes that coaches are with the idea of kids not playing, if that's their reason.
Yeah, the truth serum would be interesting with that. I mean, because this is a sport built on team building and those kind of things. But again, I think that rolls back to what message the Pac-12 players were really trying to convey. And I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it is the name, image, and likeness. I think it is the unity. I don't see anything wrong with student-athletes talking to each other in chat rooms about what they're standing for and what they want in the future. And in this age where, yeah, players' voices are being heard, like I said, now like never before. I mean, I keep pointing this out, that Kylin Hill was a big part in getting a state flag changed. Think about that. I mean, from all the things that have happened in the state of Mississippi, a running back was a driving force in getting a state flag changed once and for all. And I think that shows the power that these student-athletes have today, and they're starting to embrace that.
Follow him on Twitter, @BillBender92, national college football writer for Sporting News, friend of the show. as always, appreciate all his takes on this. Bill, be safe, my friend. Be good. You know, we'll be talking here soon, man, and we'll see as we get back into it, man, that it's going to be interesting to watch how this unfolds. So appreciate it as always, buddy.
Yeah, I'd love to break down some actual games with you. Hopefully we can do that in about a month, right, John? We'll take care of you safe as well.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bill. When we get back from the top of the hour, we will be fan-friendly. How confident are you as we start training camp here with the Atlanta Falcons? How confident do you feel in the season, given all the circumstances surrounding it? How confident do you feel? We'll take your thoughts. You can call us at 404-741-0929. Being fan-friendly with you here on a Tuesday evening, asking for your thoughts about the Falcons as well. It is the John Chuckery Show. We'll be back at the top of the hour, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.